Good morning. Let me welcome you to worship on to Northwood Presbyterian Church on this Pentecost Sunday. I couldn't get that out. Pentecost Sunday. This is the day in which we celebrate that we're all together in one place, and the Holy Spirit was given to the people, and it was like the sound of a mighty wind and like tongues of fire landing on each head, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, the birth of the church. And so we celebrate Pentecost today and the gift of the Holy Spirit in our worship service. Today also in our service is the celebration of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. It often does not fall on Pentecost, but it does today. And so if you are at home watching us through live streaming, we ask you to prepare something to eat and something to drink that we might celebrate our oneness in Christ and the gift of the Spirit as we take communion. For those who were here in person, I hope you received the little kit as you came in the door, the communion kit. We're using that again in this month and in July. The session has voted in August. If the positivity rate is lower, we may well go back to passing the communion plate in the service, but we're still not there yet. But maybe in August that will happen. And so keep that whole process in your prayers. We ask that those who are with us this morning complete the friendship sheet, that you let us know of your presence. If you have dropped your telephone line to your home, let us know of a good telephone number. We're updating our records over the summer and want to have your best information. And if you do that, simply write on the form for the volunteer that enters this in the computer in the office, update, so we can know this is an updated address or phone number. You will see today we receive a special offering for Pentecost. 80% of it is divided between Bethel Mission and Cedar Kirk, and then the rest of it goes to 20% to the Presbytery of Tampa Bay for ministries with youth and children. The whole offering does that. We just divide it between different organizations. I will remind you today that if you are new, we do not pass the offering plate still, but there are gift boxes in the hallways, and people are giving online and also mailing in a gift to the church. Thank you for your generosity and your continuing to help us in that way. Paul Means is not with us this morning at the 11 o'clock service. We had a telephone call this week from the First Presbyterian Church of Safety Harbor, and they had a scheduling problem in getting someone to lead worship and preach for this morning. And so I told him for the 11 o'clock service, just go. We'll help out our sibling church this morning. And so that's where he is, at Safety Harbor First Presbyterian Church. You'll see the vacation Bible school dates, July 18th to the 22nd. So that's next month. But if you know of anyone wanting to volunteer or any children, we need to register them now. And you can do that online and by contacting the church office. You see, the Brown Bag Bible Study continues this Thursday at noon with Pastor Paul, and he's finishing up that study either this week or the following week on the Book of Acts, and so I know he'll enjoy your joining him for that online. I want to mention the death of one of our members who had been sick for some time, Ron Hatsfield. He died just early this morning, about 1 o'clock. And his wife, Sally, we ask you to remember her in your prayers during this time of loss. There is not a service is not scheduled yet, but will be in the future, and we'll let you know about that. There are many other announcements in the bulletin. I want to encourage you to read them, especially how you arrange for flowers to be mentioned in the bulletin and do that. And then also I want to mention there is a new affirmation of faith that was written some years ago that we're using in this service, early on in the service, and you will find it on the back panel where the contemporary service is under the word ignite. If you go halfway down the page, you will find an affirmation of faith. It is a creedal statement, what we believe, and it comes from the Iona community. Instead of putting it in print, I wanted to tell you, Iona is an island off the west coast of Florida, and Christians have been gathering there in worship. And did I say something wrong?
Florida.
Pardon me, Scotland. Thank you. Also have a double ear infection, and so I can't hear when I speak. very well. But the dizziness is gone. That's the good news. Augmentin works. But it's just off the coast of Scotland there. And they have been in worship as a community of believers since the 5th century on that island. And over the years, it has become a major world retreat center where people gather for spiritual learning, for study. And many things have been written out of there that are worth reading. You can go online to the Iona community and see the music, the creedal statements that have come. And this one comes from the Iona community that we're allowed to use in worship. And it's shared throughout the world today in Reformed churches, especially for the creedal statement that we'll say together. I do apologize for the small print. I've begun editing the bulletin by expanding everything large on my computer screen, and I didn't realize it would be in such small print for you today, but we'll manage to do that because I have to as well. This concludes the morning announcements. I invite you to turn to the front panel of the traditional service where we will join together in the responsive call to worship. All together in one place, they heard the rush of a violent wind. Divided tongues as of fire appeared and rested on each of them.
They were filled with the Holy Spirit.
Let us worship God. Us here for worship. And so let us together confess our sins as we seek to be right with God. Let us pray together using the prayer of confession. Spirit of God, we build walls and barriers. We assume and stereotype. We devalue difference and stick with what is known and familiar. Forgive our lack of courage. Embolden us to cross boundaries of difference. Fill us with your Holy Spirit that gathers us together and calls us to community. In Jesus' name, amen. The disciple Luke wrote the book of Acts, and in the second chapter of Acts at verse 21, Luke writes these words, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And so, believe in the good news that we have in Jesus Christ, because in Jesus Christ we are forgiven. The chains of sin are broken, and the Holy Spirit has set us free. In Christ's name, amen. I'll turn to the back panel of the bulletin to see the affirmation of faith provided to us from the Iona community. Christians, what do you believe? We believe in God above us, maker and sustainer of all life. We believe in God beside us, Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, born of a woman, servant of the poor, tortured and nailed to a tree. A man of sorrows, he died forsaken. He descended into the earth, to the place of death. On the third day, he rose from the tomb. He ascended into heaven to be everywhere present, and his kingdom will come on earth. We believe in God within us, the Holy Spirit of Pentecostal fire, life-giving breath of the church, spirit of healing and forgiveness, source of resurrection and eternal life. Amen. pray. On this Pentecost Sunday, we remember God's Spirit is among us, helping to make all things new. And so let us participate in this new creation as we offer our gifts to God in the various ways I described at the beginning of our service and the announcements. And as we do so, let us come to God in prayer. Let us pray. O most generous God, you have blessed each of us with gifts to serve and gifts to share. And so may the offerings we present to you today, by whatever means, be used to further your kingdom and build up your beloved community, the Church of Jesus Christ. In the power and the presence of your Holy Spirit and in Jesus' name we pray, as we rise at this time to sing to your glory the words of the doxology, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow." Amen. Smiling this morning because I'm so glad we caught that thing that I said earlier about Iona. But I was thinking, you know, Iona is off the coast of Florida, just about 3,000 miles northeast. And I was thinking earlier, Australia is off the coast of Florida. Most of Europe, I wouldn't rather be anywhere else this morning. We continue in our series this morning, The Whole Armor of God, and today the topic is the shield of faith. There are two scripture readings. The first reading is our theme reading from Ephesians 6, and today we add the verse that has the shield. And then I'll be reading from Paul's letter to the Romans again in chapter 8 like last week, but this week in chapter 8, verses 14 to 17, again about the Spirit of God. And so listen as I read first from from Ephesians, our first reading in chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. Notice the word strong is mentioned, pardon me, the word stand is mentioned four times in this reading. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against blood and flesh, but against the rulers and against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God so that you may be able to withstand on the evil day, and having prevailed against everything, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, and belt your waist with the truth, and put on the breastplate of righteousness, and lace up your sandals in preparation for the gospel of peace. With all of these, take up the shield of faith with you, which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one." And then the second reading, Romans 8, beginning at verse 14. "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, 'Abba, Father,' it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. If children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if we in fact suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Into God's name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be all power and dominion, all glory and all majesty, world without end. Let us pray as we come to the message. O Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit. O Holy God, do so that we might hear and receive the message that you intend for each one of us today. May your message be tailor-made for each and every one of us. For we pray in the strong name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. I mentioned last Sunday several great generals and how Napoleon and a few others I mentioned used some very good military tactics. Napoleon was known for sending out his soldiers very quickly, retreating and then going into another battle, and his soldiers could say some days they had been in three battles in one day. General Robert E. Lee did this with his small Confederate armies, dashing here and there. But for the Roman soldiers, they were able to do so because they had excellent shoes, these sandals we talked about last week that had sort of cleat-like structures on the bottom of them. And their feet were well protected and they could move quickly. Well, speaking of generals, I want to suggest to you today that the Apostle Paul could be called the greatest general of our faith because he reminds us of this armor of God that we are to wear, because oftentimes the values that we hold dear are in conflict with the values of the world. And so we need to listen to General Paul's counsel as we encounter evil forces and are caught up in battles in the world, spiritual battles. Our scripture reading for today is case in point to this. Paul advises us to take the shield of faith with which you will be able, he says, to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Now, I don't need to describe what that means to you, do I? The evil one. Who might that be? But each of us in this series, each week, I have been sharing the uniqueness of each item of armor that Paul wants us to be aware of and utilize. And we mentioned the very first week that Paul, in prison, had been able closely to observe his guard, his Roman soldier, and all of his armor. And Paul used that image to write to us. Now, each week I've shared the uniqueness of each piece, and so let me describe today the shield that that Roman soldier carried. It was a very unique shield. It was quite large. Can you imagine 4.5 feet tall, hanging on your arm, and 2.5 feet wide? That's a mighty big shield. It was also strong. It was thick. It was made of 2 large pieces of wood. These 2 pieces of wood, they were bound together by glue, and both of them were encased in metal all the way around. The metal, they say, was red, how appropriate for Pentecost Sunday, because it represented the pagan god Mars. Mars was represented by red, of course, the red planet. But it was strong. It was also curved, a curved shield, like part of a cylinder. It was rounded a little bit, so much so that when the soldier chose to do so, he could place it on the ground in front of him and it would not fall over because of that cylinder-type structure. And that would provide relief for the soldier because that shield weighed a good 25 pounds. It was especially designed to protect the soldier from flaming arrows. Now, what are flaming arrows? Well, these are arrows that are wrapped in cloth, and they're soaked in a flammable material, ignited, and then launched by the bows of the enemy toward the soldiers. And the Roman shield, it was said, could repel these fiery missiles that were launched at them. And so Paul gives us this very vivid image of this unique shield as a metaphor for the kind of faith we will need to hold up in a world like we live in. Now, I have to ask you this question this morning. Do you carry that kind of shield with you every day? Is your shield that strong that it can withstand the fiery arrows of the evil one? If you don't have that kind of shield, the Apostle Paul can give us some suggestions this morning, General Paul, as to what we might need to do to have such a shield of faith as we live in this world. And we can understand what kind of shield we are to have if we are to understand what he did not mean by this kind of shield. And we can look at his own life to find the answer. For example, he did not mean the kind of shield of faith that would protect us from every hardship, from every trouble that came. You can tell by now this is becoming a theme with each piece of armor. It doesn't protect us from every hardship or trouble. Paul carried the shield of faith himself. He thought about this image a lot, and he was inspired, I believe, by God to write about it because of what he had experienced himself in life. Now, Paul spent a lot of time, as we know, you can almost attribute two-thirds of the New Testament to his writings, these epistles, these letters to churches. And they are preserved for us in Scripture, thanks be to God that they are. But in them, Paul tells us of some of the hardships he encountered. He was beaten. He was whipped. He was stoned. He was imprisoned. He was even shipwrecked. And so he knew the importance of having a ready defense for all kinds of trouble. He knew firsthand that God had been so good to equip him with a shield of faith that he could carry in his travels every day. And so this is what we need to hear today about this shield of faith, this part of the armor of God that we are to wear to withstand the evil and the powerful forces that are against us. The shield of faith, I want to continue, does not protect us from hardship nor illness. Paul, we read in the New Testament in his letters, he struggled with an illness, a particular illness all his life, and he referred to it as his thorn in the flesh. We don't know what it was, but scholars believe it was a physical ailment. And it bothered him so much that he mentions it in his writings. We also read in these letters to those churches, these early churches he was trying to establish in a very difficult world with different values than our Lord was teaching. He had difficulties and disappointments in the people and in the churches, and you can discover that by some of the sentences he wrote to them in the New Testament. He said to one group of Christians, in one place, he said, "Have you fallen away so quickly?" He had spent all so much time with them, and he wrote to them those words, "Have you fallen away so quickly?" To the Corinthian church, he wrote to them not once but twice. In his first letter, he writes, "Why has such strife risen among you?" They were arguing and quarreling about everything, it seemed. And then he wrote about one of his partners in ministry, Demas. He said, "Demas, my partner in ministry, he has forsaken me, having loved this present world too much." I wonder what that might mean. He loved this world too much. He had to stop participating in the ministry that Paul was doing in proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ because he loved the world too much. How interesting. And so Paul knew. Oh, he knew that the shield of faith did not protect him from hardships and difficulties and disappointments, but it did protect his spirit. It did protect his spirit. And that is the key point. The shield of faith God had provided him with kept everything that he encountered from destroying his relationship with God. The God that he'd come to know so very well over the years that met him first on the Damascus Road. He had developed a closeness with him. His character had deepened. He had learned how to persevere. Why? Because he had learned of the importance of the shield of faith that God had given him. One of the ways I want to suggest to you that the shield of faith is used here in this passage is for the building up of our Christian character to help us persevere during difficult times. Character. Character is important. I want to say this morning because when Pentecost came, the Holy Spirit was given to the church. It was given to the community of faith first. They were all together, it says, in one place in chapter 2 of Acts, and the Holy Spirit came upon them. I well remember in the little church I was in Alabama for several years, there was a man named Jerry, a young man. He was in AA. He called me two or three times a week and wanted to talk for an hour or so. I finally learned what he really wanted, but he didn't ask, as if I would be his sponsor. After about 6 months of these constant calls, and the conversations were really good conversations, I finally said to him, you know, Jerry, I know your family is in this church, at least your aunt is still here. I really want you to be a part of the church, and I've said that before, but here's what I really believe, and we've gotten to know each other, so I know you know I'm sincere in this. I don't mind talking to you every now and then, but if you become a part of this community of faith here, this First Presbyterian Church of Jacksonville, if you become a part of this congregation, the Holy Spirit will work to care for you among the people in this church in more ways than I ever could. If you'll just become a part of that community. I can't keep up with you on my own. In some way, I'm going to let you down at some point. But the church and the Holy Spirit, if you're just part of this community, you'll understand in time. And I'll have you know that Jerry is still a part of that church. Over the years, he became an elder in that church and clerk of session. But we remember especially today that God does not dwell in a temple made with hands. But now, through the coming of the Holy Spirit, God would dwell in the human heart. The body of the believer, we are told in the New Testament, becomes the very temple of God. And the Holy Spirit dwells within each temple. Our hearts and minds, you see, if we welcome him in, become the home of Jesus Christ. Now, years ago, I was introduced to a little pamphlet by a Presbyterian minister, Dr. Robert Boyd Munger. And the name of that old little pamphlet was My Heart, Christ's Home. Now, you'll want to write that down because you can look it up for free on the internet. My Heart, Christ's Home. Dr. Munger, Reverend Munger. And you may have heard about it before, but I remember hearing about it going to a Christian conference in my presbytery growing up in Gatlinburg, Tennessee one winter with a lot of other young adults, and we were told about this particular story, My Heart, Christ's Home. It was read to us by a Christian man named Josh McDowell. And he was another character worth reading, by the way, his writings. But in this little pamphlet, Bob Munger visualizes his own heart as a home. And he visualizes Jesus as entering that home and moving from room to room, seeking to transform that heart. And he describes what Jesus does, room by room, dining room, living room, library. For example, when Jesus comes into the home, into the library, the place in which you study, the place in which you read, magazines and books, the pamphlet literally says at this point that Jesus says to the man who owns the heart, now you're going to have to remove all the books and all the magazines that are impure and unworthy. And then Jesus says to the man who owns the heart, as you read and study, I want you to think of things you learn in terms of me. In terms of me. Then in Munger's vision, gradually this person turns over his heart to Jesus, room by room, just like in a house. However, there's one small closet upstairs in the story that's locked because he has some things in there that he doesn't want Jesus to know about. And so Jesus says to him, there is a terrible smell coming out of that closet upstairs. Something must be dead in there. And the owner of the heart replies, listen, Lord, now I've given you the run of my whole house, room by room, but I'm not going to give you the key to that closet upstairs. The story continues. Jesus says to him, well, all right, if that's the way it is, I'll have to sleep on the back porch because you can't expect me to sleep in the midst of a house that is full of this stench. And the owner of the heart finally says, Lord, he relents. Lord, here is the key to the closet. Would you please go and clean it up? Clean it up for me. And Jesus cleans it out. And then there's a great freshness throughout the whole house. And Jesus comes inside and dwells in that man's home, in his heart. And then the one who owns the heart says, Jesus, you are now living in my heart and my home. Why don't you just take the deed? Why don't you take the deed? And he turns over everything he has, lock, stock, and barrel, to his Lord and Savior. That's what it means, I believe, to cultivate a closeness with Jesus Christ so that the Holy Spirit can dwell within you. And often it happens room by room. And he calls us, even today, to draw closer to him. I really believe that. Like today at the table, when we come to the table, we have the opportunity to invite him in and draw close. That's the first step of building up Christian character, to continue to draw close to your Lord. Make your heart and make your mind his home. It's like picking up a shield made of faith, said Paul, and holding it as close to you as you can. And when you do that, you'll have character. And things won't be easy, but you can persevere. And I want to say this lovingly to you. I know things can be difficult. There are a million dangers out in the world waiting on each and every one of us. And there are so many dangers, in fact, that if we are not careful, if we do not pick up that shield of faith, then what can happen is this: anxiety and despair and depression can become closer companions than the shield of faith. And this was why God gave us the scriptures. In the scriptures, a picture of his protective care. And I want to say this lovingly to you, because for some of you, this image of this ancient, historic piece of armor, 4.5 foot wide and 2.5 foot thick, or tall and wide, that may not feel appropriate for you. It may feel out of touch for you or somewhat irrelevant. And if that's the case, let me offer you one more example of a shield that we can consider. Just one, and I could offer many others. There is a shield that is protecting us at this very moment, provided by a loving and creating God. His Holy Spirit was a part of that creation. And this is just, again, one simple example. So the example goes like this. When you go outside today, look up at the sky and just gaze and wonder. King David did it long ago. Psalm 19, he wrote these words. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals his knowledge. Look, you see, to the heavens and to the sky, and when you do so, you gain insight into God's divine protective nature. Now, we have an advantage that King David did not have. We have science and all the discoveries of science and these telescopes of space to show us the glory of God and the beauty of the heavens. And looking up, just looking up a short distance, we discover Earth's atmosphere, and we gain insight into the very precise way in which God has provided a shield for us against the harmful solar rays of radiation. Without that atmospheric shield, our beautiful world would not exist, and neither would we. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. We see God setting the stage for life on earth. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light, knowing the exact conditions we would need for earth to be habitable. Our earth's atmosphere, you see, it works sort of like a filter, protecting us from harmful radiation, while at the same time it works in a cycle with our oceans and our lakes to provide us with this beautiful climate we enjoy, though it's a little hot right now, God. King David could not have grasped any of what I've just shared, but he stared into the heavens and he saw God's knowledge poured out day after day and night after night to him. And God's creation, it speaks, you see, of wisdom. It speaks of God's providence. It speaks of God's care for us. And it is like another shield, that atmospheric shield that we can look to. Another shield of faith, isn't it? But as we know from Paul's writings, in Ephesians 6, God not only wants to protect our physical lives, but God wants to be the protector of our souls and the watchman of our spirits. That's what he really wants to do. And the shield of faith, you see, it protects us against toxic thoughts and toxic worries and toxic fears. God diffuses, if you will, the fiery arrows of the evil one. And I believe this, it may be the most important thing I say today. On this side of heaven, beloved, we will never realize the full extent of how much God has protected us already. As we pray, I want to offer in this closing prayer once again the words of King David at Psalm 28. Let us pray. The Lord is my shield and my strength. In him my heart trusts, and I am helped. My heart rejoices, and with song I give thanks to him. And I pray, O Lord, will you breathe into us this day, breathe into us your Holy Spirit, so that our lives and faith, our hearts and our homes may be renewed and protected. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
Friends, hear the invitation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to come to table. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and who are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." And as we gather around this table on this great day of Pentecost, we remember that on the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, simple bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This, do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner also, he took the cup and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink, all of you, of it. For as often as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you proclaim my death until I come again." And these are the gifts of God for God's people. Let us pray. O God, who gathers us on this Pentecost Sunday, in this season of spirit, this season of summer, as the days grow humid and the sun blazes hot, grant us a cool breeze of relief and the patience of a planted seed. May we grow in faithfulness in the dark, rich soil of your word, and may we grow strong shields of faith through worship and study of your word. May the time of our growth coincide with your created order, and then may we bloom in righteousness as the sun rises high and the crops grow tall. O peaceful spirit, in this season of war and violence, as bombs fall on the innocent, as people, so many people become victims of shootings, as children run for their lives, as refugees flee their homes in search of a dream of a safe haven, save us from evil and free us and all humanity from our addiction to violence and destruction. Bend, we pray, bend the arc of the universe toward justice. Inspire us with courage to proclaim your inclusive love, to root out the enemies of righteousness, to persist, we pray, for peace. O Spirit of wisdom and understanding, as you have gathered diverse peoples on this day of Pentecost, embolden us with Christian hospitality that welcomes and receives all. Open our hearts in empathy and understanding of the circumstances of others, for none of us travels the same road. Empower us, we pray, with your radical flaming love that can strengthen and save. May we, your people, call on you with one voice, one body, giving thanks and praise for your promise of redemption. And in your mercy, beloved God, we come to your table, remembering the sacrifice of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, that he made on our behalf to illustrate your love for the world and to redeem our brokenness. We give you thanks, O Lord, for gathering at this table and celebrating the gift of your Spirit. And hear us now as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his followers to pray, as we pray saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now in the silence of these moments, we take the bread provided that has been set aside from all common uses to this holy use and purpose. We are one in Christ Jesus. Amen. And in the silence of this time, we take also the juice, the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we partake, celebrating God's love for us. Amen. Let us pray. Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us, to dwell in us. And so grant that we may go now into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves for others. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray, amen. You. May the love of God renew you, and may the Holy Spirit on this Pentecost Sunday renew you and give you strength today and all the days that follow. Amen.